Hey, everyone. Happy Thursday afternoon, 12 o'clock straight up. We are ready with Facebook Live. In addition, you are in a good mood today. I am John. This is Pastor Daniel Craig Calkins.
For now.
So far. You're coming up on 2 years. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Happy to be here.
Yeah, I agree. No echo today. She's here, but...
Yeah.
So we are going to wrap up our It's Complicated series. Last 4 weeks, we've been talking about relationships being complicated. If you're watching live, I mean, we love for you just to say you're there, but if you want to give us a question, you have a question you want the two of us to answer about the series, relationships, if you just have something to stump Dan in general, I would love that. So feel free to comment on that while we're going. We'd love to interact with you that way. Otherwise, we're going to talk about relationships.
Sounds good.
The fact that they are complicated. I thought we'd start by, can you list for us the three most complicated relationships that you have?
The three most complicated?
So there, in the intro video in the blurb, it says, our closest relationships in life have the ability to be our greatest source of joy and happiness or our primary source of frustration and pain. And a lot of times, some relationships give us a lot of both. So what do you think about that? When you think about how our closest relationships, they have the ability to make or break our lives. Why do you think we are such relationally based people?
I think we're so relationally based because, like you said in your sermons, God's relational. He was the one that came down to us and made himself known to Moses and to Abraham. Abraham, they had religion before that, long before. They had this relational aspect of God, and it was very adversarial. Like the Greeks and the Romans all thought that humans were gods. Humans were God's playthings, that we were just kind of running around and acting in part for the gods. And all of the mythology and everything was how we're very adversarial to the gods. But then when God came down to Abraham and spoke with him and spoke with Moses, it was very relational. He wanted to develop covenants, and that was the first time we started seeing covenants in the Bible. And it, essentially, if you look at every covenant, from Noah's covenant to Abraham's covenant to Moses' covenant, God's always keeping up his end of the bargain when we certainly don't keep up our end of the bargain. Mm-hmm. So he wants to be relational, because even when we're not trying to be relational, he stills, he keeps... Keep on keeping on.
Well, and I've always been hung up on the idea that God had this whole world to himself, right? Mm-hmm. And that things were probably going pretty well. I mean, there's that minor Lucifer fallout thing that was happening. But when he created people, it was like, clearly he wanted a relationship with us. Mm-hmm. I don't think he created us and then we became a nuisance in his world because he didn't need to do that. And it wasn't like that was unforeseen. So he wanted relationships. He, as I believe, a relational God, said all the time, that's what he desires the most with us is a relationship. And so as people made in his image, we want relationships, right? People are different. Some people are more extroverted or introverted. They're more open about that. There are people that would be more happy just living in the woods by themselves. But we all have something in us that desires and needs those relationships and those close relationships.
Yeah, absolutely. I think... if we think about it, like every aspect of our lives, emotionally, biologically, physically, we're just wired to be with other people. One of the most interesting things about like the biology of it even, if you're like locked in a room or like in a self-deprivation chamber, which we both recently done.
Separately.
Yeah, it wasn't together. Your mind starts to like, create auditory things and these hallucinations, hallucinations?
You were right the first time.
Yeah.
Hallucinations.
There you go, hallucinations. Purely out of the sense of wanting that external stimuli. Like we're not meant to just be by ourselves. We're meant to be relational and, that's the Holy Spirit that speaks into us. That's, we just want to be with other people. We're just designed to seek out other people in our lives, which I think anybody that's been alone for a while, sometimes we desire to be alone because that's what we think we want, but we really just want improved relationships in our lives. Mm. We think we want to be by ourselves when really we want to be with someone that, gives us what we want.
Yeah, so you did an hour in a salt float, as they call it, where it's mm-hmm. temperature of your body, you float there and you just think about your thoughts. Right, your repressed childhood memories and things mm-hmm. like that. And then you encouraged me to do it. I was in California and I did it. Whew, I'm an extroverted person. That was a long hour for me. It was hard. I desired a relationship with people by the end of that hour.
Yeah.
To get out and talk to some people.
Absolutely. I think, and I don't mind sharing one thing that I thought about during that time. It was, I was floating there and I was thinking about what would the world be like if I had never existed? How would it change people's lives? How would, you know, what would have happened with Deanna, my wife, and, you know, obviously my children never would have occurred. And how do we influence the world? And I never even thought about it before just now. Like, that's essentially a relationship. Meaning making out of you know, the relationships in my life and how important that was to me, because I was essentially judging my worth by how I affected people around me. Mm-hmm. I wasn't really thinking about, like, if I wasn't here, I wouldn't know that I wasn't here. But what's my spot in the world, and what am I affecting around me, the people?
That's deep.
Yeah. The water wasn't very deep.
I was thinking, I wonder if I have any text messages.
It's relational too, right?
Yeah.
You were thinking, is external people worried about where I am?
Are people trying to contact me?
Absolutely.
You get anything else in your book there for us? Or should I
keep going? It's blank.
Oh, just looks.
It's all for show.
All right, so I used this quote the last week from a conversation with Vern, saying the things we lack in life are directional signals to our need for God. And I think when we go into a relationship series, part of why this is complicated, part of why it was like kind of an exhausting series of messages, I think, to put together and to try and execute, is because in these areas, like for so many people, they are difficult areas. You know, whether people, you know, we talked about being married, and there's people where, you know, their marriage is a really stressful part of their life, unfortunately. And hopefully they're working on that and they're trying to improve that and they're, you know, not walking away from that. Or being parents, like being a parent is stressful. I think I made that point a couple times during the series. But also, you know, for people, maybe they don't have good relationships with their children. And so that opens wounds. You know, being single, that was one for the church where it can be hard in the church, you know. And I even realized things that I've said in other messages or just how I approach it, you know, saying a week later, like, that I pray for the right man for my daughters to marry, and then realizing, you know, that's somewhat in conflict to what you just said. So I realize how much that happens. And then being children, you know, as I said, relationships with parents can be really tough. So in all of these different people that are sitting here, this is a real source of pain in their life, this particular relationship, or maybe a few of them. But when Vern said that, of, you know, we all have some kind of lack relationally, and the point of that is to, you know, direct us towards God. So what do you think, you know, what would be your encouragement to someone with one of these things, and they were saying, man, this is a real area of pain in my life, one of them, like, what would you encourage them as someone that's trying to follow Christ to do with that hole that they feel?
Yeah, I think that's tough in our lives. I think what you said was interesting about, like, praying for your daughter to find husbands. That's all based on an expectation that you have for your daughters, right? You expect them to get married, to be happy, partially because we like people to do what we did. Like,
right,
we
because it's made me happy, right?
Yeah,
and that's
absolutely
what I want for them, but they could be completely happy single, and that might be God's plan for one or all of them.
Yeah, I think relationships are based on expectation. We expect something from the other person, something that they can give us that we can't give to ourselves, in order to fulfill something that's missing in us. And when we don't have that, somebody's not fulfilling that expectation, as Vern said, like, that's a message from God, right? That's showing that this is something that you need, but maybe you're going about in the wrong way of trying to get it. There's a story I tell the youth group and the college kids called the Fish Love Story.
Ooh, Fish Love.
Fish Love.
I'm in. Keep going.
The title catches them on quicker than the, you know, the meaning behind it. But it really changed the way I thought about Jesus. It changed the way I thought about love. And it's essentially this old man is in a restaurant, and he walks by a young man eating a plate of fish. And he looks down at the young man, and he says, "Son, do you love that fish?" And then the young man says, "Yeah, I absolutely love it." And he says, "So you love it so much that you took it out of the water, you seasoned it the way you like it, and you boiled it, and you're eating it now. You don't love the fish, you love yourself. And you love what the fish can give you, not for what you can give to the fish." And a lot of the relationships in our lives are essentially that story. We're seeking what the world can give us, not what we can give to the world. Mm-hmm. And if we look at the gospel message, that's the complete opposite of what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to show the world what he could give them, and he was given gifts as God to gift the world with the most appropriate definition of what love is. And if we look at any issue in our society or any issue with our marriages or our relationship to our children, it generally comes out of a unrealistic expectation of what love actually is. Mm-hmm. And it's just, we have to realize that. And when you are giving your complete self to your wife and your wife is giving her complete self to you, that's when that marriage is working perfectly. And that's when you are giving yourself completely to God. He'll give you way more than you could ever ask for. But we use God. I know I used God as a genie before I became, a Christian and really understood what God was in this world. And I would ask him to help me win hockey games, to help me, land the job, help me do this. And then I'd put him away, and I wouldn't use him anymore. It was because I wanted God to give me things, but I wasn't willing to give myself to God. And I think that's essentially any time we look at a relationship, that's the paradigm that we should look at through. Is, am I seeing this relationship as a gain for me, or is it a gift to the world that God gave me that I am giving back?
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
That was really long.
No, that's good. And I mean, if you're going to talk about fish love, take your time. I'm stuck on the fish. I would prefer it to be battered and fried. But
fish fry.
Yeah, I mean, I would love it more. But you're right. In a healthy relationship, whether it's marriage, any of these things, is not a healthy relationship if my only concern is what can I get for me. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, that's not going to be good for anybody. And so, to go back to the being married one, where I talked about the sign of a healthy relationship being the number of things I do that say I love you versus the number of things mm-hmm. I do that say I love me. And that's that healthy split, right, of coming into a relationship. And yeah, are needs met in a relationship, right? Are there ways that in a healthy relationship both people benefit? Sure. But if we're both just going at something as what is best for me, and like you get the leftovers or your second place, or I don't actually care about anybody else, that's not going to be love. That's not going to be biblical love. It's not going to be godly love. And it's not going to be good. And that's, so for me, so many people enter into a marriage not saying that, but thinking that, thinking, well, this makes me happy, and so I will love you as long as it makes me happy, and all this goes well. But if it doesn't, like, I'm out of here. I'm hitting the door. And that's a vastly different love than a covenant love, mm-hmm. right? To go back to covenants that say, I'm going to love you on the days that you are a good spouse, and I'm going to love you on the days that you are not, because mm-hmm. my commitment to love you isn't about how well you love me back. Mm-hmm. It's about the fact that I made a commitment to love you.
Yeah.
Through everything.
One of the great, I love what you had said to me one time about marriage vows. And in your marriage vows, it doesn't vow, you don't vow to love or to be happy continuously in your marriage. Right. That's a super unrealistic expectation of what marriage is. And if, I hope everybody's reading the Bible.
It's good. I would recommend it.
If you go through, my favorite book, Jeremiah.
Love Jeremiah.
Lamentations. The Psalms, most of the Psalms are lament Psalms. Mm-hmm. Life is not easy, and growth is not easy. So why would marriage and your familiar relationships with your children, why would they be cake, right? Mm-hmm. They're there to build us up and to, give us that sense of worth when we create something. Just as we serve a creational God, he wants us to be the builders in that life, but it's not easy, and building anything is not easy. And the moment, I don't know, I think it's really funny, the moment like Adam was made on the earth, God's like, all right, get to work. Like, we're here to work. We're here to do work. So the imagery of us like lying in heaven on a cloud, like getting grapes fed to us by cherubim, I think is like a super erroneous view of what heaven's going to be like. We're probably going to be working. We're going to be building. We're going to be creational, just like we were on earth. And anybody that's trying to like retire and get outside of that, I just think we have a really unrealistic expectation of what God wants from us.
Right. And that life's supposed to be easy or always good and not challenging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would like grapes, cake, and fish fries now. I'm making a list in my mind.
I'm going to sneak some raisins in there.
No. Raisins are Satan's chocolate chips. Don't sneak them anywhere. So why, because of that, because we are such relational people, one of the things I talked about last week is how it's the hardest to forgive the people that are closest to us. And why do you think that is? I mean, what makes that so difficult sometimes to let those people off the hook?
I think it goes back to expectations. It's that's not how I expect a father to act in a certain way, and that's not how I think a father should act. So therefore, you're not fulfilling what I had wanted from you, or you know, a wife like I, you know, you'd say like that's not what a wife is supposed to do. I view a wife in this particular way, and that's you know what you should be. I think that's one of the reasons pornography is such a pervasive issue in our world today, because it creates a super unrealistic expectation of a sexual relationship in a marriage. And they, you know, when women don't live up to that fictional, you know, thing, it's it becomes a source of contention. They say, like, why can't you be like this fictional person? And I've also spoken with women with fantasy novels. Like, why aren't you like this guy in this book? I think it's all comes from an unrealistic expectation of what the other person can give to you. And when we just drop the expectation and understand or just try to fully give ourselves to the other person, that's when we can realize, you know, and I think we need those things, and that's why we get so mad when we don't get them. We're like, I need this from you. You know, I'm feeling this, and I'm not getting it, so that's what makes me angry. Yeah, I think it's all comes down to expectations.
It's a good answer.
Thanks.
Nice job. So as we kind of wrap this up, you know, we're concluding this whole series. This is the we're putting It's Complicated to bed. Now and Later starts this weekend. Study in 1 Thessalonians. It's going to be a good couple of weeks. How do we go about making a lasting impact? So you had started. You talked about that in your dark place in the salt deprivation chamber. About what if you never existed? So what do we do? I think we've covered. We want to approach relationships as in what can we give this person as opposed to what can we get from this person, right? But what else do we do to make lasting impacts in our relationships?
I think a big part of it would be to start, if you're not doing a spiritual practice, whatever it be, it just could be as simple as a devotional every morning or whenever you can fit it in, you know, when you get off work or at night. I do my devotionals at night because I'm not a morning person. And I think if we start that, and you're in, you know, in love with God and in love with that relationship, that's going to make your other relationships flourish, because you'll have an understanding of what that relationship actually means. A couple, probably about a year ago now, Ezra got really sick, and he was taken to the hospital by ambulance. And I had to hold him down as the doctors were, like, doing their work.
Yeah.
And he was just the whole time saying, like, Daddy, I'm sorry. Like, I'll be good. I promise. I don't, you know, he didn't know what he did wrong. And it was the first, instance that I was able to see, like, how God must have felt with Jesus on the cross. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, in Gethsemane. Jesus crying out to God for, you know, to take this cup from me. And I think if we don't have those relationships, we're going to be left out of what the world has to offer us. If we cloister ourselves, or if we just burn those bridges and say, like, this person's not giving me what I want, so I'm not going to be part of their life anymore. Seek out the difficult relationships in your life and figure out why they're difficult. Why does that person make you so mad? You know, why does that person get under your skin? Is it pride? Is it arrogance? Whatever it is, figure that out, because that is going to make you a better person. And that's something inside of you. Even if you say, like, oh, it's just this person, they irritate me so much. Well, there's probably other people in their lives that they get along with, and you can't control what that other person does, but you can see what that is about you, you know, that you can be comfortable with that. So if you can be comfortable with your greatest enemy, just imagine how much greater that'll make your prized relationships with your family.
What's the one common thread in all your bad relationships?
You.
Yes. Good job. Correct answer. Hey, next, in addition, October 17th, we're going to see you right here at noon again on Facebook Live, or if you're checking this out on the podcast afterwards. Thank you so much for joining us for Unpacking It's Complicated. Pastor Dan, thanks for being here.
It's
always fun.
Pleasure.
All right. Have a great afternoon.